From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Yellow Vests protests in France have rocked the European nation for weeks now. Thousands of activists have taken to the streets and organized all over the country on a daily basis, donning yellow vests to signify their demands that the French president back down from high proposed fuel taxes. But even after Emmanuel Macron and his government backed down on the proposed tax hike, protests have continued. At least four people have been killed and hundreds injured and arrested. The protests have been cast as a people's response to a necessary action to curb climate change. U.S. President Donald Trump jumped on that framing, tweeting on Tuesday, "I am glad that my friend Emmanuel Macron and the protesters in Paris have agreed with the conclusion I reached 2 years ago. The Paris Agreement is fatally flawed because it raises the price of energy for responsible countries while whitewashing some of the worst polluters." But others have pointed out that this is not a matter of people versus the climate. Rather, it's a matter of the rich versus the rest. My guest is Stephen Hill. He was up until recently the journalist in residence at the Berlin Social Sciences Center. He's a political writer and author of a number of books, including Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers, as well as Europe's Promise, Why the European Way is the Best Hope in an Insecure Age. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
Thank you, Sonali. It's a pleasure.
So first, let's talk about what's happened before we get into the analysis. It's been quite remarkable to see these protests. Paris, the capital, is getting a lot of attention. But I understand that the protests are taking place all over the country. And it's not just rural French, as some have cast, but now it's really become a nationwide thing.
Yes, it's pretty much is nationwide. These protests, they seem to emerge out of nowhere. But of course, the issues that are being raised have been simmering for a while. It is somewhat surprising that, when we think of France and protests, you think of the 2005 protests in the banlieues, the suburbs ringing major cities, where there are minority youth and Muslim youth who were feeling the squeeze from police. And so that has kind of given this sense of what protest is about in France. But this is a completely different demographic that's protesting this time. It tends to be more of the middle and working classes. They are feeling squeezed by a lot of changes. Some analysts have tried to say this shows that the French state and the French approach using more government involvement doesn't work. But in fact, these are people that have benefited from that kind of government involvement, and they actually want more of it. They just want it in a different way. So it's really, there's a lot of mixed messages being sent here, not only about inequality and what will help people, but the environment and how do you go forward if you can't do a gas tax and all these sorts of interesting issues that a lot of people are starting to debate.
Do the yellow vests represent the sort of working class mentality? In the U.S. we call them blue collar workers, but yellow vests are, first of all, incredibly visible from far away, and they're often what, say, street workers might be wearing as they do infrastructure work. Is that the reason for that symbolism, as far as you know?
That's part of it. But the yellow vest, it's something that at a certain point in the French law, they started requiring people to keep a yellow vest in their automobile in order, in case there's some problem or what have you. And so it's sort of almost a way of, the protesters putting on what their government has required them to keep handy and showing their dissatisfaction with government, the government putting rules around them. The demands of the protesters, which is kind of a leaderless movement at this point, are really contradictory and conflicting. And so, the French officials are trying to pick their way through figuring out what's really going to diffuse this. So recently they decided to take away the gas tax that had been mandated, which, by the way, comes from a 2014 law passed before if President Macron was even president. And it's a law that is designed to, on a regular basis, increase the gas tax in France in order to get people to rein in carbon emissions, use conservation more. Well, at this point, the price of a gallon of gasoline in France is the equivalent of about $6 per gallon. And so, the latest gas tax, at the same time that Macron has also passed tax cuts for wealthy and businesses, because that's his plan for getting the economy moving. And keep in mind that unemployment rate in France is about twice what it is in Germany and some other European member states. So, Macron had this policy of tax cuts for the rich, for businesses, trying to get the economy moving, and also now taxes on gasoline, which hits the middle and working classes the most. And all these conflicting attempts to enact policy in a number of different areas have just basically conflated and crashed around Macron's ears.
Right. So the gas tax was something that was not just established before Macron's rule, but also before the Paris Accords. So it's interesting to see Trump and others link the Paris Accord to this particular law. I also understand that one of the big reasons why these protests came about was that it began in the rural parts of France, where having a car is really a necessity. Right. Although cities like Paris have incredible public transportation, and people who live there don't need cars as much. The people who live in the rural areas, particularly in agricultural areas, are forced to have cars because there just isn't good public transportation there. And so this sort of disproportionately hit them, which is why they began protesting. There's got to be a better way to address the issue of climate, because as far as I can tell, the Yellow Vest protesters are not against action on climate change, right?
Right. That's what, it's really, whenever you have protests like this, you always try to figure out what's the message, what's the main and most important message being sent here that needs to be addressed. And that's where this is really a challenge, because you're getting conflicting messages along two different dimensions. One about inequality, the economy, who does it work for, the losers of globalization. But on the other hand, about climate change and what's the right policies. I mean, pretty much everyone who's working on climate change, from Bill McKibben to scientists, say that we at some point we need to have some kind of carbon taxes, and in fact we needed them yesterday, and so this essentially was France's version of a carbon tax, and suddenly it's causing eruptions of protests in different parts of France, because people are feeling the squeeze economically, and this gas tax was seen as just a step too far. So, we have to really think hard about what's the message that we need to figure out here to move policy forward, to enact good things that need to happen.
And of course, all of this is happening at the time that the COP24 meeting is taking place in Katowice, Poland. It's the latest UN climate conference where the implementation of the Paris Accord is being discussed. Also, the global carbon emissions report, yearly global carbon emissions report, also just came out, showing that after years of very, very small increases in carbon emissions, we saw a big jump in the year between 2017 and 2018, with Europe's trend flattening. Now, you would think flat would be good, except Europe had actually been dropping its carbon emissions. So going flat was going backwards. So all of this is happening now. The New York Times brought up this issue of climate versus the people. But I saw an interesting piece in Time magazine by Amnesty International Secretary General Kumi Naidu, who said France's Yellow Vest protests have been framed as a false choice of climate versus the people. And we're seeing more discussions here in the United States, Stephen, around this idea of a Green New Deal, which is you can solve the twin crises of climate change and economic inequality at the same time if you immediately transition to a green economy and people are able to get good, high-paying jobs in a renewable energy sector that the government greatly supports. Are there conversations around that happening in Europe, linking inequality and climate change in a constructive way?
Yes, certainly there are. And I think what we can see from what's happened in France, that the devil really is in the details. If you're going to have things like carbon taxes, you have to have another side of the coin that takes away some of the impact on middle and working classes and poorer classes of people. So, you know, you can
right, have if they were paid better, if they had higher wages, they would be able to afford the higher taxes.
Higher wages, or you could do it in an even more targeted way where, you know, you have the carbon tax, but you offset that with other types of tax reductions. And so the net is not one where you're actually raising taxes across the board, but that the taxes across the board are actually staying the same. It's just that you're using the tax to target this type of activity instead of another type of activity. And that's what France didn't really do well in this situation. I think we could say, at the very least, this is a sign of poor policy design, because when the price of gas is already $6 a gallon, okay, we need to increase the price of gas in the United States as well if we're going to get people to start using public transportation and other forms of transportation. And let me tell you, Uber and Lyft are not an alternative in that regard. There is no alternative to public transportation if we're going to reduce our carbon emissions. And so, you know, what we're seeing here is just how complex this is going to be going forward.
I mean, couldn't France, rather than punishing people for using cars, which is what a high fuel tax is, subsidize very low emission cars or electric cars for low and middle income people? You can give incentives to go towards a climate friendly future rather than punish people. Decarbonization, as Kumi Naidu wrote, shouldn't have to be on the backs of the working poor in France or anywhere.
Yeah, this is all about policy design for sure. And France is doing a lot of that. They are moving towards electric cars, all these sorts of alternatives, but it takes time. And in the meantime, they have this law that was passed several years ago that regularly increases the price of gasoline as an incentive both to get people to conserve more and also to get people to start using other alternatives. And I mean, we should clarify that at this point, President Macron has reversed that gas tax. He gave in to the protests. So we'll see if the protests continue. My sense is that they will continue for a while longer, but that, you know, there really isn't a strong consensus about what all these different protests, parts of the protests want. There's a lot of contradictions between their various demands. France is a country where we tend to see a lot of protests. Recently in France, middle and high schoolers walked out because they were protesting certain policies. So, I mean, protest is good. We want to encourage protest, but, you know, you have to learn a lesson from them. What is the message of the protest? And that's what everyone is kind of scratching their heads over.
There have also, speaking of students, been a lot of anger over police brutality and scenes of the police forcing students to kneel with their hands behind their heads at schools. This generated a lot of anger among protesters who've been sharing the videos and the photos of these young people. And just picking up on what you were saying earlier is that the Yellow Vest protests don't seem to have backed down, even though the fuel tax proposal was canceled. So there's a momentum that seems to have been born out of the initial protests, where now the demands, as far as I can understand, are expanding. So people are upset because the economy isn't working for all French people. What should Macron be doing? Because backing off from the fuel tax increase is one thing, but in the long term, if he wants his government to not be in crisis or his role to not be in crisis, what are the lessons that he can learn or advice that you would give President Macron as he moves forward?
I think President Macron, when he started cutting taxes on the wealthy and businesses, he didn't really explain it well enough about, look, this is trying to reduce our unemployment rate. By reducing the unemployment rate, we'll actually bring more tax revenue into it, so funding things like
Cutting taxes for French corporations actually result in job creation? Because here in the U.S., it doesn't. We know that.
the evidence is mixed on that. Mm. But you know, sometimes what you're doing when you're in office like that is you're trying to signal. And so the amount of tax cuts that he gave were not, you know, it was not a huge hit to the French budget. It was not, you know, like what Donald Trump has done on capital gains here in the U.S. It was nothing in that range. But, you know, the other problem that you have with France is that you have there, people are used to getting more from the government than what Americans get from their government. So there are higher expectations. There's no question about it. People expect more from their government, and as they should. And so when, you know, something happens like this, there's a culture of protest in France where they send very clear and loud messages. I mean, I think one of the positive things that I'm watching right now is that the big French labor federation, the CGT, the General Confederation of Labor, they are looking to sort of take this energy and pivot it towards real economic demands, like an increase in the minimum wage, an increase in pension benefits, expansion of the safety net. So let's see if the CGT is able to take this energy and turn it into something in which gets real concessions from the French government for working class people. And then also you have, you know, some of the French left parties that are trying to figure out how can they piggyback on this energy and move it forward to another level. That's what I'm kind of watching to see. Otherwise, I have a feeling that the protests will eventually kind of fade away. I mean, there's no evidence that I've seen so far that this protest energy is going to transform into support for Marine Le Pen and the far right in France. But again, that's something you have to watch.
Right, because a lot of times you have these far right leaders that couch their racist and xenophobic rhetoric in the economic populism that unfortunately tends to, that tends to resonate with people who are unhappy with their lot, just as we've seen here in the United States. So I'm glad to hear that so far isn't happening in France. But the protests are apparently being planned for, there are protests that are expected to continue through the weekend into this week and into the rest of the week. And I'm wondering what your comment is on the response of authorities. The French police have come under fire for very violent responses. There's been videos circulating. I mean, there's been a lot of media coverage on the violence of the protesters who've been tagging the Arc de Triomphe, etc., but not as much media coverage of the police beatings. And we're showing for our TV audience, by the way, just a warning, this is pretty brutal video of police beating yellow vest protesters. I believe it's a woman who's actually being beaten right now with batons, with these very heavily armed police not backing down and beating up the protesters. This, I'm sure, is also fueling anger among the yellow vests, right?
Yeah, of course. How could it not? I've seen some of those videos. They are disturbing. They're in a tense situation right now. So, you know, everybody has to keep their cool on both sides. I mean, you know, it's when people start burning cars, as they've been doing in France, and this has become kind of the last, since the banlieue protests where they burned thousands of cars in many cities throughout France. This has become the new French way of protesting. So when you have major property destruction like that, you're going to have a vigorous police response. So hopefully, both sides can tone down that kind of thing, because it's just going to make things worse.
Now, you were saying earlier, Stephen, that some of the demands are a little bit conflicting, but there have been some things actually articulated. List of demands that was released on November 29th, I'm looking at a translation here, is that a letter was sent to MPs of a list of people's directives to translate into law. And among the things that they're saying is zero homelessness, a more progressive income tax, higher minimum wage, promoting small businesses in villages and city centers, stopping the construction of large commercial areas around big cities that kill small businesses, a large plan for housing, etc. I mean, these sound the same system of social security for everybody, ending the tax increase on fuel, which of course was the one demand that was met by Macron, a minimum pension levels that are higher, and so on and so forth. So job security, I mean, it's pretty specific.
Yeah, but they also have called for things like more tax cuts. And so, you know, this is the dilemma for a state like France. You know, people want things, they want a lot of things, but they don't necessarily want to pay for it, or they want someone else to pay for it. And so...
But wouldn't a more progressive tax system tax the wealthy and corporations more and benefit ordinary people more?
Well, you know, high net worth individuals in France already pay more than they do in the United States, as do corporations. You know, the corporate income tax is higher there. And so Macron comes along, and, you know, some of it is a matter of timing. I mean, he comes along, and at the same time that he's putting a gas tax on regular working people, he's trying to cut taxes on wealthy individuals and on businesses as a way to get the economy going. As I mentioned, the unemployment rate in France is like twice what it is in Germany and other EU member states. So he's very aware of this. And, you know, it's and of course, as we mentioned earlier, it's really controversial that the idea that tax cuts do anything like this at all. But that was he was elected to do. And so, of course, it's not surprising that he did that. You know, this is a dilemma that all capitalist countries are facing right now, is how do you have enough tax revenue to do good things for people that they want without having so many, especially in an environment where it's a race to the bottom. You have China, you have India, you have other countries in the world where the wages are much lower than they are in France or even in the U.S. You know, I mean, it's globalization has created a lot of challenges like this. I don't think there's any easy solutions to it for any country today.
Finally, Stephen, do you think that Macron's days as president are numbered as a result of what he's facing right now?
No, I mean, he's, you know, he still has a number of years to go on his presidency, and I don't think he's going to resign over this. I mean, it's questions whether how effective will he be. You know, he came into office with people declaring him kind of a new wave in French politics, even in European politics, and actually, you know, at the European level, Macron has proposed many progressive things that would help the EU to become more of an actual union. And he's gotten pushback on that from many of his EU fellow leaders. So, you know, I mean, I can't simply say that Macron is the problem and that the left should just, you know, see him as the problem. I think it's more complex than that. Macron at the EU level is proposing things that no other EU leader is willing to say and willing to propose.
Such as?
Making the EU actually having a better elected parliament so it has more power, and having the ability for, you know, because you have a country like Germany that wants the EU to watch over the budgets of all of these different governments and issue sanctions like they're trying to do against Italy. And Macron has said, well, if you want to do that, you have to have better representation for them. And also you have to have more of a federal tax system in which the taxes from the better off member states are being used to help the member states who are doing worse off. So in other words, I mean, in the EU, you have a lot of solidarity, and word is used a lot within a nation, within a member state, but you don't have much solidarity between member states. In the US, we don't have much solidarity within our states. We don't have the types of things you have in France, along like healthcare and childcare and low-cost university education and many, many other things. But we do have a federal union in which California pays a lot more in taxes to Washington, D.C. than it gets back. And as a result, that money goes to Alabama, Mississippi, and a lot of the red states where the economies aren't as good. And so, you know, these are the types of policy issues that are being debated in the EU and in France. And so you can't really separate what's happening with these yellow vest protests from these broader discussions that are going on in the EU about how to create more solidarity across member states.
Well, Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your insights with us. Really appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure, Sonali, as always.
Stephen Hill was recently the journalist in residence at the Berlin Social Science Center. He's written a number of books, including Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers, as well as his earlier book, Europe's Promise, Why the European Way is the Best Hope in an Insecure Age. We've been discussing the Yellow Vest protests in France. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.